Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by our friends at Dodge. As you know, Dodge is ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So visit Dodge.com today to schedule your test drive. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to our friend Alistair Weaver from Edmunds. We're going to talk about the Porsche GT3. He had some time on a track in Atlanta to experience that car. And Ford Maverick versus Hyundai Santa Cruz. What do you guys think of these new small trucks and how they're going to compare? So all of that coming up right now. But first, a word from our friends at Empire Covers. You know, nowadays, cars are designed to keep you safe on the road, but are you providing the same protection for your car off the road? That's where Empire Covers comes in. They have high-quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, pretty much anything that would damage your vehicle's paint. And for premium protection, check out their American Armor covers. They're proudly made in their Kentucky factory, and they have covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. All their covers come with a free multi-year warranty. And here's the deal. You get free shipping plus an extra 15% off your entire order with promo code CARCAST. Go to empirecovers.com/CARCAST. Use promo code CARCAST. It's Empire Covers. Protect what you love. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Moderator DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. How are you?
Doing good. It's hard to hear you from the drilling going on.
getting that construction done. Getting that
super
garage.
Yeah, man.
You know,
it's not as easy as people think. I wish it was like an erector set, but I, you know, it's all good. It's a continual process that hopefully will be done before, you know, I have to go underground one of these days. I don't know.
Right. I'm hoping that it gets done and I can come out and visit and see it. But we need to time it when the weather is perfect. Not too hot, not too cold, not too rainy, not too buggy, mosquito-y.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll have to figure that one out.
We'll have to figure it out. Happy to welcome back our good friend Alistair Weaver. How are you, Alistair?
I'm good, thanks, Matt. Yeah. Good form.
I'm sure you're up bright and early taking care of the baby. It's not really a baby anymore.
I was up saving rhinos. I'm a trustee of a rhino charity, so I've had 2 hours of saving rhinos before I talk to you boys. So it's back to some something slightly less virtuous now.
Oh my God.
Now we got somebody else who can contribute to the animal conversation.
Right, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's the only thing Wanda doesn't have is rhinos. You should probably not mention that to her.
Don't know. Not going to happen.
She'll be like, not only do we need them, we need to dig a moat so they can live in it.
Yes, I tried to push a buffalo on her last week, and that got stricken down quite quickly.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's okay. We've got some fun stuff to talk about today. Before we get started, let me just give a shout-out to our friends at Meguiar's. Over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically geared toward DIYers. They have their new hybrid ceramic line of products. Their hybrid ceramic spray wax, this is the one you find in the bright blue bottle. It's got their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology. It delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond its traditional wax. They also have their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. It's long-lasting ceramic protection in an easy-to-use liquid wax. And of course, our favorite over here, the easy-to-use ceramic spray detailer. This is great to boost that shine in between the wax jobs. It removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, and more. And this year, they've also expanded their hybrid ceramic wash and wax all-in-one. It's the bright orange bottle. unique two-liquid system in one bucket. It washes, it protects all at the same time. Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. See, Alistair, you learned something.
If you live in Texas, it can it can accentuate your paint in between the hailstorms.
Yeah, I know, right? I know we touched on it a little bit last week, but finally got to spend a week with the Ram TRX. And for LA, my thoughts are still very much the same. I don't know what you do with it in LA. It's difficult to park. When you get the Ram bar with the lights, I was afraid to go into any parking garage because I have no idea if it's going to smash those lights off. And I don't want the Dodge guys calling me up going, what'd you do to our truck? But it's ridiculously fun. It is fun to drive for sure. It's just an animal of a vehicle.
Please tell me you took it off-road.
I didn't get off-road,
did you go
but
off-road?
We did city terrain. We did city terrain, a few things here and there. I was going to take it off-road this past weekend, but an event came up I had to go out to. I actually went to a Fabulous Fords Forever. It's the largest Ford show. They've been on hiatus for a bit. It used to be at Knott's Berry Farm. They move it to Irwindale Speedway. I don't mind Irwindale. I've been to races there. I've raced there myself. I've been to events there. But let me just tell you, getting into the venue, the line of traffic, is an utter shit show. It has.
Yes.
It's not the parking, because the parking, they were parking cars in the infield. They did a great job. But just that line of traffic getting into the venue is an hour long. It was well over a mile long. It was just ridiculous. But the event was cool and got to catch up with, you know, our friends from Magnaflow and Galpinato Sports and Anderson Composites and see some cool cars. And it was a cool event. Alistair, you saw some of my photos. You're like, what is this event? What is this going on? I was like, it's a sea of Fox bodies. There must have been 1,000 cars there, by the way, and probably, I don't know, 6,000 people, 5,000 people. It was a cool event. And of course, it's not all Mustangs, by the way. There's Broncos, there's Pantera, there's Fairlanes, there's all kinds of cool stuff. It's a great big blue oval show. It was fun. It was fun to go and walk around and kind of, you know, see everybody get out. And I mean, it was 90 degrees outside, so it was getting warm out there for sure. But yeah, it was a good event.
I think these things are going to be really heavily populated over the next few months because everybody's been so locked up and so desperate just to get out and go to these events. So I think you're going to see like a massive explosion in attendance. I hope so anyway.
You know, a friend was telling me about Good Guys did their first big car show, and it was in Texas. I think it was at COTA, and it was their first event in like a year. And it was fully open. You know, the Texas rules, no mask mandate at the time, and still. But they just asked like the staff members in the vendor booths to wear a mask, and they're like, okay. And it was like a record 25,000 people. It was just everybody just showed up. It's exactly what you're talking about. I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers, Barrett Jackson's going to be that way. I'm going to head out tomorrow morning. I'm hoping that Barrett Jackson is going to be there. So if you're in Vegas, come out to the event Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Before we get into some car news, though, let's touch on that real quick. There's been a little bit of a change in plans. Bill's motorcycle ran into a paperwork issue. and we just kind of felt like the best move would be to get that figured out so there's no questions at all and you know what you're getting. And probably bump that to the Texas Barrett Jackson auction, possibly. Something can happen in between then, but it's looking like, I mean, Texas, right?
Yeah, 100%. At the end of the day, here we go. as a bidder, I don't care what the vehicle is. When it crosses the block and it's based on bill of sale only, I'm going, hey, yeah, there you go. I just saved 25%.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So,
and
we stars have to be aligned, and we had a little issue with the serial number and it supposedly being the serial number on the VIN, and it's not. It's the it's the VIN for the motor. And it just, at the end of the day, it's in processing. It should be taken care of. It will be taken care of within the next 2 weeks. But that being the case, the DMV said that it couldn't be, it had to be sold on bill of sale only. And I'm not going to do that.
Right. So it's going to be a registered vehicle. It's going to be legal vehicle. It just, the DMV couldn't get the paperwork done in time for the auction. So there was no point.
It's like dealing with a super performance Cobra, right? I mean, it's kind of analogy wise, it's the same issue.
Right. How do you, you're registering like a hot rod, like an exemption type vehicle. So, and because of that and some other events that came up, so Bill, you're not going to be able to make it out to Bear Jackson. However, I'll still be there. We've got a lot of friends coming out there, friends in the entertainment space. Of course, Bravago is still launching out there. We'd love for you guys to come out there and try it and with us. Let us know what you think. We've got our great social media team that's going to be out there. So if you guys would like to, we'd love for you to try the product and tell us, you know, be a part of our social media, get on camera, get some photos, you know, so we can, we'll be putting all that stuff up and sharing it with everybody. We're very excited. This is a big, big thing for us. You know, we know product arrived, that was confirmed. It's on its way there today. We're, you know, I'm driving out there tomorrow to make sure it's all going well. And it's going to be a little nerve wracking, but it's a big event. It's a big event for us.
Yeah, and don't worry, I'll be pouring Bravago in Houston.
There you go.
Matt, what flavors do you have? So this is, can you just, I don't know if everybody's heard this before, but can you just talk me through it very, very quickly what it is?
So it's a hard seltzer, but it's a little bit different. It's our badass version of a hard seltzer. It's got a lot more flavor and a little more kick to it than, let's say, the big brands like a White Claw or a Truly. It is 5.1% alcohol. It still comes in, depending on the flavor, you know, two or three grams of carbs, 2 or 3 grams of sugars. It's about 115, 120 calories. We lightly sweeten it with monk fruit. It pops the flavor a little bit, but it's still a zero calorie, a natural sweetener, which I like better than stevia or erythritol because you don't naturally digest that. It goes in, it goes out, where monk fruit is real. It's a real fruit. That being said, we have a strawberry lemon, we have a Rainier cherry, and a vanilla orange cream. And if you've ever had like a creamsicle, it is fantastic. So our guys in the lab that were making the product, they said their favorite was vanilla orange cream, but the most crushable was strawberry lemon. He's like, you can down three of those things. I would recommend you Uber. I would recommend you Uber if you do. Luckily, we're launching in Vegas where everyone's Ubering anyway, so I'm not too worried about that. It's going to be 115 degrees outside in Vegas, so if you want a refreshing drink, the Bravago Public Bar will be near the... as you walk into the event, you go through the sea of cars, and then as you get to the auction arena area where the grandstands are, basically, we're at the entrance on one of the sides. So one side will be the bitter bar, the other side will be the public bar. We'll have some big banners and stuff up there, but I think you guys will enjoy it. It's a nice, fun, refreshing drink, and I think we nailed the flavor. So anyway.
It takes me back to my student days when, you know, if you kind of woke up with a hangover, you want to keep drinking, there was something called alcoholic lemonade. I think it's called Hooch.
Yeah.
But they banned it in the end because everybody was, they had all these kids thinking it was just proper lemonade, but it was actually like 5% or something. So it got banned.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Maybe we should create a flavor called Hair of the Dog. You know,
yeah.
Now I haven't had
the key is to be able to hydrate and dehydrate and hydrate at the same time.
That's right. Drink a water, drink a Bravago. Drink a water, drink a Bravago. Wash and repeat. Just keep doing it. Anyway.
Well, actually, the Bravago, because of the low amount of alcohol, does both at once.
It's mostly water. That's what they do. It's carbonated water. That's how I feel about it.
So it's hydrating.
It's hydrating. And you can walk around and show us your can. We'll take pictures. All right. I'm not going to turn this into a big commercial. But Alistair and I were texting yesterday. We're going, hey, we got a few topics for the show. And one of the topics for the show was going to be the delays of all the cars, including the Bronco. But I woke up this morning and I saw Twitter aflutter going, hey, good news. Bronco production has restarted. And that's pretty much in line with the note I got a few days ago from Ford saying they've started production on Mustang and some of the trucks and Bronco. As these chips, the computer chips are coming in, they're starting to get carded. Now, they're by no means are they caught up to what they need to make, but they are starting production again. You heard the same thing, Alistair?
Yeah, I mean, our car was supposed to be here. Edna's car was originally supposed to be here like first week in July or something. That was originally the original plan. Or, well, the original plan was months ago. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how many chips you get in a roof. Whether they've got multiple problems. But I did get a very kind of cutely worded email saying we really hoped we weren't going to have to send this email, but we are, and here it is, basically. And so yeah, I think there's a few disappointed people, but it's just prolonging the tease at the moment. We're actually driving it. The press launch is next week, so we're going to have a film out and a review of it pretty quickly.
But don't you think over the past year people have come up with a different definition of prolonging the tease?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what? The chip delay was one issue across the industry, but the roof, the hard top roof issue, was the other thing. Now they showed pictures that are saying, "Hey, we're making Broncos now," and I saw hard tops there. So obviously, it's not zero. There are some. It's just, you know, for the amount that they need. Do we know how much they ended up getting orders for? I heard it was something like, you know, they got tons of orders, and roughly 65% of the orders are going to be turned into actual orders, people taking delivery. And it's like 160,000 Broncos on this first run.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we had to do was change the roof, because I think we were going for like the hard top soft top combo. Honestly, it's been so long, I can't remember how we narrowed that out, but We started off with one roof, and then I got a call that said, we can't do that roof combo. Do you want to wait? And I just said, no, I want my Bronco as fast as possible, so I'll take the hard top. And then I got an email saying, you can't have a hard top either.
So said no top. I just want no top. Just send me a Bronco and we'll figure it out later.
Yeah. And conversely, I was on the other end of the spectrum because I wanted mine delayed. So I went in and asked which was delayed the most, because it's Gage's car and he doesn't get it till next year. And that's the one I chose.
Yeah, well, you're going to get it.
You're right, Matt. I live in Southern California. It hasn't rained here for about 6 months. Why don't you just give me the car?
Right. You know? And mail the top later. Just send the top later. Yeah. Right around when Christmas rolls in and the clouds come over, then you'll put the hard top on it when you get it in the mail. And yeah, Bill, that's a fantastic. So Gage's birthday is 15th birthday was just recently. So they went into the dealer to order the Bronco, and then said, great, happy birthday. You get nothing this year, and you get a Bronco next year.
But again, I had to time it out. So anything that would push the date, I chose in the checkoff box, because May the 10th, you know, 2022 is when he gets his present. So it all works out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Unless it's delayed.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe is right.
I got I actually Ford did do me a little favor. You know, the Mustang Mach 1 was supposed to be made in May and delivered a month later. And then they said, we have to push it out. There's no chips. It's affecting the car. It's going to push well into August. Maybe you'll get it in September. And then I got an email and he said, the Mustang production line has ramped up again. He goes, so we made some calls and we moved yours to the beginning of the line. So now the car is supposed to be made in 5 days. 6 days, something like that.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, you know, we've got a lot of projects going on. We've got a few other things to drive. I said, don't worry about it. I'm not, this isn't like a, you know, like a life or death situation for me, but I appreciate it. You know, and I'd love to get it, but.
Charles, we're selling our GT500. Do you want a GT500 to go alongside the Mac?
I kind of do, though. Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I kind of do.
Yeah, it's funny because when Ford called me and I was talking to the guy over there, I said, he's like, yeah, you know, the Mach 1, you know, it looks great. We got the, you know, whatever, it's going to be delayed. It's going to be built in August. And if it's delayed again, you have the option of getting a 2022. Bill, we talked about this before. And he goes, or, you know, you can stay with the 21, but it might be, you know, could be limited edition. I don't know. And I said, well, are the GT500s delayed? Because I'd be happy to take one of those. And he said, yes, those are delayed as well. And I was like, all right, well, just keep me on the list for the Mach 1 then. But
yeah. So 760 horsepower is a lot, Matt.
I know, but it's a cool car.
It is cool.
It is a cool car. I'd have to put a lift in my shop to stick it someplace up in the air. I know, but it is bright orange, so
next month, because we got to trade it in against the Bronco. You know, that's how it works. We've had it for a year, so now the Bronco comes on board and the GT500 goes to a new home.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I want your GT500 because every drag race video that you've done, you lost. I know you blamed it on traction, but I felt like every drag race video, you're like, I got beat again.
Have you read the YouTube comments about me?
A few, yes.
Even when I'm not driving it, it's my fault.
You're the scapegoat.
Yeah. All right. So tell us what else you've been driving. I know you've got a very exciting car. Now you got some seat time and a very exciting car under your belt.
Yeah. Last week I went to Road Atlanta. It was actually my first flight in a year, believe it or not. It's crazy. I went to, but a good one. I went to Atlanta to drive the GT3 at Road Atlanta.
Man.
And this is the first time we've actually had it on a proper race circuit. And it was my first time at Road Atlanta, which reminded me.
Oh my
so
God.
Honestly, what a circuit, what a car. It was like, it was a fantastic day. And it reminds me of the circuit in the UK called Ulton Park, which Road Atlanta reminded me of, all the Nürburgring, all the undulations, the fact that it's pretty fast and hairy, not a lot of runoff. And we had Patrick Long, who I know you guys know, Mr. Lufthansa. He came along and basically it was just 20-minute sessions and I was following Patrick. Patrick had a 911 Turbo S and the idea was just to learn the circuit quickly and then leave the mental capacity for actually, you know, appraising the car. So I was basically following Patrick. He was in a Turbo S, I was in the GT3 and that was pretty special and a great way of learning the circuit, you know, following somebody who is lightning fast around there.
I was just going to say, nobody better. By Patrick Long is, by the way, the nicest guy. He's so fantastic. And we've done some driving instruction with him before. And you're right, Porsche racing car driver, co-founder of Lufka Cult. Just a great guy. And a two-time Le Mans winner, I believe.
Yeah, he's not, because I was talking to us, like, which do you think would be faster? Because the Turbo S has got a lot, you know, it's got another 250 pound-feet of torque and more power and everything else. And you could really see that pulling out those slow corners. You could see the turbo pull away. But he reckoned that the GT3 would be at least a couple of seconds a lap faster around there. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Patrick's 2 seconds a lap faster in anything.
in anything. Yeah, right on. All right, so
it was great.
So walk us through the GT3 a little bit. What were some of the specs on that you guys were told? I mean, I know Porsche is oftentimes a little conservative on their specs. When you test them, those cars go a little quicker, a little further. If it's electric, you know, there's a... because it looks badass. I know we're having a few internet connection issues here, so I apologize for that. It's making some funky noises and stuff. But Bill looks like Max Headroom. His head's all like staccato back there. but Bill, you've seen the new GT3, right? That's the bright blue one they've been showing in all the photos, and it's got the cool scoops in the front or the vents in the front, and
yep.
The big wing in the back. And it just looks kind of looks kind of badass, but GT3 is the naturally aspirated two-wheel drive version. Is it a manual transmission or is it PDK?
It's a choice. So you either get, but it's different gearboxes. So they've lost, if you go for the PDK, it's a 7-speed, not the 8 that you normally get in the standard Carrera, but it's a totally different box. And then a 6-speed manual if you go down that route. But what is so nice, if you drive a current Carrera, the way, partly for emissions and fuel consumption and everything else, the gear ratios are really badly spaced, like 2 to 3 is a real leap. In the GT3, none of that. Just beautifully spaced ratios. The car I drove was a PDK. I haven't driven the manual yet. So my conclusion on the day was, if I was a track day guy, I would have a GT3 with the wing, with the PDK. And if I was buying it as a road car to occasionally go to the track, then it'd be a manual touring.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've had a sneak peek at a touring, by the way. I know that this thing is coming out. And I think as we talk, it's still all on the embargo, but that thing's going to look amazing.
So, and GT3 Touring, similar to the previous gen version, was it's the GT3, but the street version, like a little bit different seats and no wing, and just sort of the subtle version, but everything underneath, power, suspension, all that's the same.
The whole touring concept grew out of. You remember the 911R, which was a special edition, which went crazy?
Yeah.
Which was basically a B-Wing GT3, where they said, actually, we're going to do something that's a bit of a sleeper. And I mean, the values of those are insane. And that sparked this idea of having something that, you give away a bit of downforce. And one of the interesting things about the car with the wing, you can actually adjust the rear wing and the front. So you can basically get an Allen key out and adjust both. And they reckon at 125 miles an hour, it has 150% more downforce than the old one. And he was also running on Michelin Pilot's, let me get this right, Pilot Cup Sport 2R tires. And they had a guy from Michelin there, and I was talking to him. And these R tires are the same compound as the 911 Cup race car. And that kind of like almost kind of quasi-legal, where they take a slick race tire and then cut a couple of grooves in it and say, off you go. So you can legally drive it to a track and then drive it on a track day and bring it home again.
But and then buy new tires.
Yeah. And Michelin reckoned it was on those tires were worth 2 to 3 seconds a lap, which is nuts. So we were running in full downforce, basically on not far off slick tires. And what a thing. And all these people say, it's got 502 horsepower, but although the 911's got bigger for this generation, they've kept the weight pretty much the same. So you've got plastic carbon fiber reinforced trunk lids. You've got all sorts of stuff going on. You've even got like a lightweight battery that saves 22 pounds. The attention to detail is incredible. And, I just like the fact that Porsche is saying, okay, GT4, 400 horsepower, GT3, 500 horsepower. And then when they do a GT2, that'll have about 700. But they're not trying to chase the horsepower war. They're just going to say 500 horsepower for GT3. Yep, that's about right. And honestly, on that circuit, that's more than enough car for me.
Yeah, it's the total package when it comes to those cars with those Porsches. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I don't know if you had a conversation with Porsche or even Michelin at this point, but the racing car tires, very, very grippy. And as modern day sports cars and supercars have become more and more impressive, it's really become a limitation of the tire. So now we're putting these super incredible, grippy, almost racing car circuit tires onto them. But the circuit tires were really kind of useless until you're at high speed, you got some heat into them. Mm-hmm. How do you end up running a Pilot Cup Sport to whatever, on the street? Is Michelin doing something that makes that tire compound a little different so it's a little more livable under normal temperatures? Because not everyone's pushing that thing on a track day. They're still driving around town.
They were really clear with me because I was like, okay, I live in Southern California. It doesn't rain. Would I put this on every day? And they said no. For two reasons. One, because if it is cold or it does rain on that one day and you are running your GT3, so a lot of factors there, then it's not going to work properly. And so they're basically saying Pilot's Cup Sport 2, which is already a really aggressive tire, is your day-to-day choice. This is basically turn up, you know, this is what you put on for the track day. You know, and I kind of hope people follow that, because otherwise, you know, I've driven, I remember back in the old days, and Michelin said actually things have improved a lot, because I can remember driving an M3 CSL, God, this is like 15 years ago, on the early versions of these tires. And the moment it was cold, it was just terrifying. There was just zero grip.
Well, Bill likes to roll around on his Nitto drag radials in the rain.
Same. Yeah, that's exactly what you're describing right there, pretty much.
Yeah, where you're going down a highway at 30 miles an hour, terrified.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
It's
every aspect of it. And then, God forbid, you hit a rut or undulation in the pavement, you're done then.
You've also, I mean, it's like we could talk about a lot on this show, you know, a GT3 is, there's a lot of car there. This one is the most focused. It feels more like an RS to me. It's almost like if this is the last GT3 that Porsche does, they've thrown the kitchen sink at it. And I've driven every one from the 996 onwards, so every one from the start of when they started calling it GT3, and this is definitely the most focused. It's a, you know, it's a proper road racer for the old cliche.
I
thought it was fabulous.
I did the Viper Cup at Road Atlanta, and I've driven Road Atlanta a couple of times. And by the way, the only way I prepped for it was YouTube doing the in-car videos. That was
me too.
Fantastic. But driving that new GT3 at Road Atlanta, I can only imagine was as equally exciting as it was terrifying. Right? Am I correct?
Yeah, especially when you don't know the circuit, because so much of it is blind. So exactly. I was like, Patrick is not going to like take me off the circuit here. But you know, those guys don't do slow. And oh, he was no. Like, I'm going to look in the rearview mirror, and as long as you're keeping up, you know, we'll just kind of ratchet it up. So, you know, I was driving it, and the final corner is a real confidence corner. And obviously, Patrick knows the circuit, and he's super talented. And it was really disconcerting because he was doing a lift and then balancing it and going through, but you couldn't tell how much speed he was backing off. So it was, there was a few hairy moments, but I really enjoyed it. And a mega car really, really is. But also one that, I mean, yeah, I know I've driven a lot of these and I've driven a lot of circuits, but it's not massively intimidating. Once you get past the noise and the sensations, you know, it's pretty forgiving. But you know, it's still massively fast.
Yeah, I haven't been on that circuit, but I went out there for a vintage race that Adam Carolla was driving in. And you're right, I think it's that last turn that also kind of goes off to, like, you know, to get off the track. And a few people were hitting that straight after that turn.
I want to see the gap on that turn 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 12, I think. Yeah, it's the last turn where you go over this blind crest. So the first bit is you go through a sort of blind ride at about
terrifying.
He was 160 into the braking zone, certainly with Patrick driving into chicane, and it's a downhill brake from 160 into a chicane. Then you go again, and you go downhill off camber ride
with your eyes closed.
Yeah,
yeah, you basically can't see, right?
Racing on a prototype or something like really serious around there. Yeah, that's got to be that's proper ballsy stuff.
Yeah. I had some thoughts on, because we were talking about Porsches and the new car stuff. So I have a couple thoughts on used car stuff, what people are looking at that. Before we get into it, let me tell you guys about Geico real quick. You guys, you can own your home or you rent your home, either one, whichever one you do. We know it can be a lot of hard work, but you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. You know, as we start leaning into hybrid technologies and EV technologies, and you know, our friends at Dodge said, you know, enjoy your Hellcats and muscle cars while you can. You know, we're going to do muscle cars, but expect some sort of hybrid technology. You know, Ferrari's been getting into that more.
Matt, can I just jump in?
Yeah,
Because I literally just received an email that flashed up on my screen. I've got my other screen on. Bronco order. Thank you for reserving your new Ford Bronco. We're excited to see the return, blah, 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 blah. The next step in this process, the vehicle order, will begin in early December. We were supposed to have it in July.
Wow, December.
This has literally arrived. This arrived at this is 10th of the... No. Oh, no, no. Sorry. No. Do you know what's happened? Sorry, this is making a complete hash of the show here. This is from the 10th of the 9th. It's just randomly resurfaced in my email because I was looking at Bronco stuff. So this is... No, no. This is 10th of September last year that said my Bronco was going to be built in December. And now we're in... now. So just ignore me, but now we're in June. Now we're in nearly in July.
And,
so
yeah, we're in June, so, but it's still, you know, it's 7 months late and... No end in sight yet. Okay. So what I was getting at was, if we don't want to jump onto that hybrid bandwagon for some of these new supercars and muscle cars, you know, Porsche and Ferrari still always at the top of the food chain when it comes to collectibles, when it comes to great driving sports cars. Which Porsche would you recommend for somebody to buy used? It could be a few years or many years. And then the same question about Ferrari, you know, because now we're looking at 360s and 430s for, I don't know, 120 grand, 100 grand, you know,
360s for 120, you can get it for half of that.
Yeah, well, I just saw the 430 for like 100 or 120 grand, and then the
360. Yeah, you can get a 360 all day for 60, 70 grand all day.
So, what are your thoughts on the good Porsche to get used, and what about the Ferrari?
Is this to me, Matt?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough question. The problem with Ferrari is, if you start with the Ferrari question, because I remember looking at when I bought my, I have a classic 993, 1997, 911. And I did look at, I always wanted, because it was that poster boy as a kid, I always wanted a Ferrari 355.
Yeah.
And there was a time when they were about 100 grand, which was too much of a stretch for me at the time. But also, you've got to look at what those things cost. And anything pre-360, you know, even to do basic service often is an engine out.
Yep.
So everything is so expensive to run. And there's worth looking up online, because you get these kind of running cost charts of like what it will cost a year to run. And that's your key metric. Unless you've got to be able to afford to run it. And, you know, that's always the issue with Ferraris. I had a friend of mine bought a 550 Maranello, which was a lovely car, but the little rubber around the headlight perished. And the only people who made one was Ferrari. And it was about 800 bucks.
800?
It was about 800 bucks for a $2 part. But like, what do you do? The difference with Porsche is that there's so many third parties make, you know, rubber bushes for your headlights. And that makes an enormous difference to what it is to own. Ferraris after the 360 were a lot cheaper to maintain, because it was a period when Luca di Montezemolo was running the company, and they became a lot more, went from being a rich man's toy to something that you could actually use. So 360s, 430s and onwards. I mean, the one I always wanted was a 456. I think that's a beautiful car. And if you can buy like a manual, but then the prices of those are skyrocketing, you know, the late stick shift cars. One that is cheap that I always had a bit of a soft spot for was a 612. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get those for sort of $70,000-$80,000. But then it's a V12 Ferrari, and that opens up a whole new world of pain and cost when things go wrong. So yeah. I think it's just like handle with care, and actually the price to buy is not the bit that you need to concentrate on. You need to do your research of what these things cost to run and have it properly inspected. Porsches are a lot more accessible on so many levels. And, you know, again, I think it's do a homework. I mean, we were looking at buying an $8,000 track car for driver training, or Boxsters are $8,000. But then if the gearbox breaks, it's disposable. Chuck it away.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've still got to bear in mind. I mean, everything's going up at the moment. 964s, anything from a 911, 964s, which are early 90s, easy to live with. 993s are great, but I mean, I love mine to bits, but they are going up in value. I mean, I paid 25,000 for mine in the UK, and you know, you certainly can't get them for less than, you know, 60-70 here now. So, you know, that the 911s are obviously fabulous. 968s, 944s, if you can get a nice one, are just a great way into the brand. And there's such a great, the good thing about Porsche, there's so much infrastructure just to support it, that you don't have to buy expensive OEM parts. And that's the big difference. And also, they were beautifully made, beautifully made.
Yeah. Okay. It was a good, it's a good thought. There's much more parts available for Porsche. So that's going to be a little bit easier to fix and maintain. But when it comes to Ferrari, you're saying start with 360 or newer, and probably the newer you go, the more reliable you're going to end up. But
That's true. I mean, 355 is the one that I would love.
I love that car too. I love that car too, but I'm aware of the maintenance issues, you know, and pulling that engine out and whatnot. And I don't know if that service is becoming more affordable because more aftermarket service shops are tackling that type of thing. I mean, none of it is inexpensive. I mean, you know, if you only have one or two cars in your household, maybe a 355 shouldn't be one of them.
Understatement. Captain, you know, obvious.
Are you going to be spending a lot of time in the back of an Uber Prius? But it's a good thought, because, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, we're at a point where we're looking at cars like that going, you know, I've never owned a Ferrari. It'd be nice to have a Ferrari, not a daily driver, but can I take it out on the weekends or, you know, an event here and there? But also, I don't want it to be a super drag and have to fuss with it the whole time. Like, is it going to be an enjoyable acquisition? You know, so just something to think about.
I mean, to give you an example, yeah. I was just looking at suspension on my 993, and I got a quote for upgrading to basically the shocks, the original shocks, and it's done 65,000 miles. And to go to Bilstein B6, which are specific shocks that Bilstein developed, you know, and to have all four corners done, wheel alignment, new springs as well, which drops it to the rest of the world high, because American cars are always sat up a bit. You know, it's $4,000, including all the labor, which is a lot of money, clearly, but it's not
nothing, you know, compared
to a whole new suspension. It's yeah. It's not outrageous.
I was just talking to the guys over at Galpin Autosports about bringing the truck in and redoing my Ford Lightning and getting it ready for some of the big events. And I told them the four shocks, the adjustable shocks that I'm having made and putting on this truck, they're like $16,000. And that's not insulation or anything. All that insulation's got to be custom. Just to purchase the four coilovers, it's like $16,000. I didn't pay that much for the truck. So there's definitely a sickness. There's some sort of illness I have. I don't know what. I got an earwig or some kind of worm eating my brain, because I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's going to be interesting to do anyway. I don't know why I'm fascinated with it, but $16,000 to do the shocks. All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit, because we did talk a bit about Ford Maverick, which was getting a lot of buzz. Ford's been kind of crushing it when it comes to press announcements, and you know, not just with Mach 1, but Mach-E, and then Ford Lightning and Maverick. And I saw the Maverick, actually. I'm sure you've seen it in person now, but I saw it at the Ford event, Fabulous Fords Forever, that was there. And, you know, it's small, and it looks good, and it's going to fill a need. But really, the only competition out there is what, the Hyundai truck that's coming out?
Yeah, the Hyundai Santa Cruz. And we've been amazed just how much attention these are getting on our Edmund's YouTube channel. Our Santa Cruz films got basically 1 million views. And I think our Maverick, which came a bit later, is up at 250,000. There is huge, huge interest in these little trucks. And maybe it's because everything's a bit like SUVs. Everything's got bigger. So even a Ranger is now actually pretty big truck, and the F-150 is huge. That, you know, this is almost like what a Tacoma used to be, or what a, you know, what. So I think they'll do well. And the Santa Cruz is a really cool looking truck from Hyundai. And then obviously the Ford as well. And they're the only two real players. But yeah, I'm amazed how much attention it's getting.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. There's an audience for it. I think there's going to be an audience for it. Just by the attention, you would think so. I mean, make no mistake, Bill, we talked about it before. You wouldn't fit in it. And if you did, you would look goofy as hell. It's just not that type of vehicle. But on paper now, when you look at Santa Cruz and Maverick, what are we looking at? How are you comparing these two?
Well, the big thing is the price. I mean, the Maverick's 20 grand. You know, it's a bit over 20 grand with the destination, and they always cheat by not including destination. But it's, you know, both of these. It's interesting. I read somewhere, and somebody, I can't claim credit for this quote, but saying Ford cannot sell $20,000 hatchbacks or sedans in the US. But if you dress it up as a little truck, they can sell it, you know.
They'll sell 150,000 of them probably.
And that's basically it. This is kind of what a little hatchback used to be. It's a $20,000, you know, thing. And, you know, I think it looks strong, and there's decent interior space, you know, for the overall size. The bed's not huge, but they're pretty clever with how you can use it. Mm-hmm. And it may well appeal to people who, you know, don't, you know, maybe surfers or skiers and that sort of thing, who just don't want, you know, a bit like you trying to use a TRX in LA, or if you live in a city.
Yeah.
You know, these things could be super useful.
You know, the other thought was,
Alcohol delivery, Matt.
Yeah, right. Alcohol delivery. We're going to do that. The other thought was, there is still a customer that wants a new car because they want something that's reliable and has a warranty, but they don't have a lot of money. And there's that customer that shops for something inexpensive. And at this point, the most inexpensive thing on the Ford lot is probably going to be the Maverick. Right. So if you just want something new with a warranty, you know, your kid's going to high school or a college or something, they want to get something safe, or they're, you know, leaving the state to go to school or whatever. You started a new job, you don't want to spend a ton of money, you know, just like there's, especially after COVID, as people are just ramping up with work again, and you're going, I want something to drive. I want, you know, it's got to be inexpensive. You go on to a new car dealer lot and go, what do you got? What's the cheapest thing you got that's going to move me around and keep me safe? And they're going to go, well, Ford Maverick's, you know, $22,000, you know? That's, I'd be like, sure. You know, and like you said, even when you dress up that vehicle and you get a bunch of the options, like fully loaded, it's into the mid to low 30s. It doesn't turn into a $60,000 truck. You know, it's like 34 grand with pretty much everything you can get for it. So not that 34 grand is really cheap, but in the world of new cars, that seems cheap, you know?
Yeah, the average cost of a new car is 40 grand at the moment. So,
that's amazing. That's amazing to me. $40,000. Okay, so Santa Cruz, what's the price of that? Do you know?
That's going to be, you know, it's going to be similar to the Ford. I think check them out on our YouTube channel. We're actually going to put together a film that directly compares the two. I mean, the Hyundai looks actually the more interesting of the two, sort of visually, Hyundai doesn't have the reputation that Ford does for trucks, but I really hope they do well. I mean, they're on a real roll at the moment. The design's great. They're pretty much lineup match from, you know, the specs lineup. So that's going to be an interesting test. And I think it'll just bring a whole new body of people into trucks as well.
You know, and I don't know how much of the platform is shared with Bronco Sport, but I know Maverick is going to be hybrid front wheel drive as the base model. And then you can get all wheel drive version, and you can get the 2-liter EcoBoost all wheel drive version. But I imagine there's going to be some variants of that vehicle, like an FX4, or some sort of kind of off-road version. And if that's anywhere near as capable off-road as Bronco Sport, I think it's going to be an attractive little vehicle.
Yeah, I was just pulling the specs, Matt, as you were asking. I mean, if you look at the Santa Cruz, you've got two engines, one with 190 horsepower. Oh, you got a 2.5 liter with 275 horsepower. I mean, that's plenty, right? 8-speed auto. I mean, these are not unsophisticated things. It's not going back to like the old days of it being sort of cheap and cheerful. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of you know, there's sensible tech going on this. And size wise, just give people a sense of it. It's about 10 to 15 inches shorter than a typical midsize. So midsize would be like a Tacoma or something.
Yeah. Okay. Now you mentioned Hyundai stepping up their game design wise. You and I spoke. Kia Telluride is a fantastic SUV that you guys really like, rated very highly. I'm going to be heading out to Vegas for Barrett Jackson, and I wanted to find something to drive. I needed to bring some gear with me. We're setting up our public bar, our Bravago bar. We're bringing some gear, and I'm going to be out there for a few days. So I didn't want the biggest thing, like a Lincoln Navigator, but I wanted enough room, sort of a three-row size vehicle. I kind of wanted the Kia Telluride, but it wasn't available on my schedule. So I got the Genesis GV80. And correct me if I'm wrong, Alistair, but the Genesis GV80 is the same platform as the Telluride. It's just the fancier version. Do you think that the Telluride and the Genesis share a platform?
You know what, Mike? I'd have to look that up. I mean, that's often typical because Genesis, obviously Kia, Hyundai share platforms, and the Palisade is on the same platform as the Telluride. But it's GV80 because GV80 is not a three-row, you know, not a three-row in the sense that Telluride is. So I'm going to duck that question.
Okay. Well, it looks good, and I'm kind of digging their style, this weird kind of I don't know, sort of this ambiguous kind of, we don't know what brand vehicle this is, but it looks interestingly good. And I've driven the Genesis cars, and I thought they were sharp, and I thought they were nice. I don't know how well they're selling. I always thought they would be a pretty nice luxury car to get into used, because I'm sure the used price drops significantly from the new car price. And if the quality is there and it's, you know, let's say it's a lease turnback, it's 2-3 years old, you probably get yourself into a pretty nice daily driver, you know, that you're going to enjoy. Like if you're commuting a lot and you want nice interior and all the tech bits, it's going to be in there. Now, of course, Tiger Woods very famously wrecked the GV80 the other day. But I got to tell you, with him, if he didn't do that, it probably wouldn't have caught my attention as much as he did. So, I mean, I feel bad for him because he got hurt. But also, yeah, it was probably the best. I don't want to.
Publicity they ever
publicity,
got.
Piece of publicity they've had so far.
Yeah. Can I show some of you, Matt, that they. Obviously, we're a website. We can track traffic to each page. And we always have a ranking of like vehicles. What's the GV80 became the most visited page on Edmunds for a significant 100%. Period of time.
Yeah.
Well, people were like, what the hell is that? What does that look like?
Well, for whatever reason, they either just want to see it because they heard about it or they heard news. You know, I mean, again, the best promotion ever is the sheriff going, this vehicle saved his life. Right.
Boom.
Like for whatever it is, it saved his life, which is great for Genesis, but also great for almost all new vehicles. That's kind of where we are with new vehicles. But I can't wait for the, you know, I got the 3.5 engine, which I think is the big engine option for this vehicle. And it's the whatever the premium or limited or whatever that was in the fleet. So said order me one up. I'm going to see how it goes. It'll be interesting.
And even as a new buy, you know, they're a bit cheaper than something like a Mercedes GLE for the same size. The chassis engineer is ex-BMW. The design is ex-Lamborghini and Volkswagen Group. You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And actually, the one I'm really excited about is the GV70, because I think that's even better looking, actually. I really like the look of that. That's the Mercedes GLC BMW X3 size. That looks like a really nice little thing.
All right. Well, it needs a Hellcat engine. Let me tell you guys about Dodge. Dodge has officially opened orders of the 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. If you guys heard us talk about this before many times already. 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. It's a blast to drive. It's exclusive for 2021. And as we had mentioned before, they were going to make 2,000 units, but anybody that got an order in, they're going to go ahead and fulfill those orders. So it's still available for just the 1 year, but If you're on the list, you're going to be able to get one. 710 horsepower. It's got the new exterior and interior styling, and all buyers of the Durango Hellcat will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Radford Racing School. And if you get a chance to do a great track day like Alistair just did in Atlanta, I highly recommend you go to this, take advantage of this program, and get some real instruction with this vehicle. And as you know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive today. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Alistair, what else is coming up for you guys as we wrap up? What can we look forward to this month on Edmunds?
We've got tons of good stuff, actually. New Grand Cherokee coming out. We've got the obviously the GT3 test that I've done. We've got a small SUV test. We've got all sorts of stuff. So check edmunds.com/roadnoise or our social channels. So yeah, it's a really busy time. I mean, as the world opens up and launch events start again, you know, we're full on New York Auto Show, looking like it's going ahead. So yeah, really, really busy time.
Yeah, that's interesting. New York Auto Show. Do we know if LA is doing their auto show? Any word on that?
I think New York's going to be a bit of a, you know, toe in the water, and particularly that, you know, there's no international travel at the moment, which will limit its global appeal. I think LA is going to be the first, like, return the proper auto show. I think there's a whole bunch of brands are going to unveil some interesting stuff there. And honestly, I just think in November of this year, if international travel exists, there's going to be a ton of people wanting to come and see a bit of sun and come to LA in November. So I think that could be a success.
And you know, on that same thought, because Bill, you and I have been talking about SEMA, what's going on with SEMA. I spoke to our friend Richard Waitis at Magnaflow, and I spoke to a couple other guys in the industry. A friend at Low Car makes a bunch of you know, aftermarket accessories, billet pieces, things like that for hot rods, shifters, cables, mirrors, shift knobs, all that kind of stuff. And they said it's still moving forward. SEMA did their booth selection, and everybody got their assignment on their booths. They said that they did make the walkways wider. And I think the confusing part to me was I heard they were limiting the amount of booths, so there's going to be fewer so they can put more space in between them. But then also I heard they're expanding into that new West building where Bear Jackson's going to be this week. So I'm like, well, I don't know. Are we doing more or are we doing less? You know, because it sounds like they just added 1 million square feet to the whole thing. So it is happening. There's going to be, I think, a few changes with some of the booths, just how they flow people in and out. Things like meeting room sizes and hospitality suites are either going to be eliminated or just downsized and a much bigger limitation on the amount of people. I think there's going to be fewer signing events because they're trying to get people to just avoid standing in a line.
How can you have signing events when you can't form a line because you're not 6 feet apart?
Yeah, I think that the 6 feet apart thing is not going to be applied once that rolls around. And listen,
my opinion is SEMA's going to be bigger and better than it ever has been.
I think so.
That's just my opinion at this point.
I mean,
because everything's opening up, shit's going to hit the fan. Like you said, any concert, any outdoor event, no matter what it is, if it's herding cats, it's going to be sold out. So I think hopefully, you know, you get international travel, and then you'll bring so many people in because everyone wants to get out. But domestically, I think it's going to break records if Vegas is completely open and Barrett does their thing, or SEMA does the same, you know, rules with it. So
yeah,
that's now, my guess.
The one limitation could be international travel. I think for SEMA, they're still saying it's not going to be a big international buyer trade show like it has been in the past. It's just going to be for here. So anyway, it's going to be interesting. But anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We had a few technical internet issues. Maybe it was those guys that were on the roof last week banging around. I don't know if they got their stuff worked out up there, Chris, or who knows. But Anyway, apologize for some of the audio issues. Hopefully we'll get it. We'll just get it all dialed in next time. But Alistair, always a pleasure. Check out Edmunds.com. And of course, Edmunds.com/roadnoise is where they keep up to date with their latest videos and the news about stuff. Bill, always a pleasure. I will see you guys at Barrett-Jackson in a few days. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.